is not only a fine poet and has been on the New York scene for a good number of years, but he started an online journal called BigCityLit.com. So look into that on the internet when you have a free moment. Should anybody have a free moment? It's probably the best literary journal online, and Nick Johnson is the founder and maintainer of it. So I'll ask Nick Johnson to come up and read his poetry to you.
Yes, well, oddly enough, my poems are covered with martinis. They just started drinking. Whereas I have not. I mean, yet. So I don't want to, I'm just going to move this temporarily because I don't want martinis over whatever these pamphlets are. I'm really pleased to be here, and God bless the cafe owners who welcome us, and as very admonished, treat the bartenders well. And of course, I want to thank personally Barry for inviting me to read here this evening. These, I don't think martinis go well with poetry on the page. Maybe in construction, I don't know. I shouldn't gab away my time, but you know, like a writer like F. Scott Fitzgerald, who was not only a known drunk, he bragged about it constantly. He'd walk into a room and say, he'd have a big glass full of liquid, and he'd chug it down. And then he would say, did I just drink a glass of gin? Well, these poems are soaking it up. So, see, I'm not making this up. It's very damp. Paying for it. Or the resurrection of André Breton. Let's dig up the corpse of André Breton, who we will revive only if he'll pay for the privilege of rebirth, only if he'll pray for our tears and teach our hearts to improvise, only if he promises to fabricate a Desi Arnaz with a difference. Someone more diffident than he, someone who will sadden the trees. Sorry, I'm thinking of how much of a martini was wasted. Well, I am. Last wish. I don't want to be buried or cremated. I'm not at home with worms and roots, the worries of oxidation. Instead, I'd like to be shot towards Orion at the speed of light, where, sister-like, the stars wink at me nightly. I want a place in their tantrum of light. When all systems go, I'll have light years to travel. A home with red giants, white dwarfs. Under their auspices, I will glow brightly with the wit of isolation. If discovered, what will they make of me? My face of approximate sublimity. In the harsh light, I will meet them stare for stare, tempting the tempters. And they will know me as the first and last of the gone. That was inspired by Sylvia Plath and Star Trek. I like sometimes working with cliches that are all about us, or superstitions that are all about us, such as don't speak ill of the dead. This is called ill of the dead. Don't speak ill of the dead. Can they hear you? If they hear you, they mostly say nothing. If you listen, you might hear them singing one of the love songs they wrote about you. Who was the first dead person that you knew who became not a person, but a thing? That change of state, life hanging by a string, so dulls the brain. The brain cannot think through. If you have something bad to say, say it. They were bad lovers, mothers, singers, ghosts. Say how they betrayed you, let you down, hard. You can say they didn't give a shit. With some eternal song or hymn, we still toast them. Because they died, they left us here to drown. Drowning in martinis. An unexpected theme of the evening. Convalescence. When you came and sat on the edge of my bed, lowered and raised your voice, I knew your voice was the best medicine. It conjured up visions of our recent holiday. The houses spread out at random. The jazzy blues of the meadows, where the inhabitants always awoke at dawn with the tint of dawn in their faces. In the small mirror on the wall, I could see the shape of things to come, previews of coming attractions. We kept going off separately, but always coming back to what you called our contemporary honeymoon, where each day we could pick a few more ripe apples from the crippled apple tree we fought so hard to save. This is a poem that originated by a letter I got from someone in Washington, D.C. You know, they have the Cherry Blossom Festival and all that. Rot. Because the cherry blossoms. Because the cherry blossoms arrived DOA in your letter, I took it as a bad sign. That two delicate things cannot travel too far or last very long, which is why we've lasted these years, not being too delicate, but enough so our hearts show the usual signs of wear. Lasted because I got you to climb into this tree with me, like those long honored before us. Lasted because in a tree, it's not silly to live or die. Because in a tree, we can watch the blossoms go as the blossoms go. And because we cannot keep them from falling, we never have to climb down from this tree. I'm sure that all makes lots of sense. Two companion poems. They don't like to be isolated from each other. Manic. They give me orange and blue pills with names like gods. Soon my thoughts race around and around like a Lionel train. I start all my sentences in the middle, as if I had just found my lost train of thought. At home, I chug from room to room chanting, I think I can, I think I can. My dog barks from under the table. My wife screams in protest. Left front wheel, left front wheel, I tell them. I don't know when I expect to be so happy again. Talking to strangers. I know by their looks, the way they carry themselves like a burden, eyes ringed like the moon. I talk to them like I talk to myself. I tell them I walk in the woods soundlessly like an Indian, setting neat prints in the snow, eyeing the squirrels. I tell them I sit in the snow like a tree stump, how my fingers and toes drop off one by one, how I count them as they drop. My feelings fall off like my clothes, silently, snow closing my eyes. I tell them I have come here unwanted, wished for like death, that even the rabbit gnaws off its paw rather than be caught in a trap. Yes, and somewhat along those same lines. Well, I've been a very big fan of Sylvia Plath, and I think she taught me a lot about writing. This is dedicated to her, and it's called Going Down. I know how it was, Sylvia. It's always awkward bawling out, especially when your heart isn't in it. I never held it against you, though. Bawling out is always awkward. Couldn't you sweat it out another 10? I never held it against you because the world didn't drop dead when you shut your eyes. I'm sweating it out with my daily rations. I don't know why the world didn't drop dead. After some of my daily rations, part of a year's supply of nitrous oxide, I shut my eyes and picture the curious roots meeting yours. A year's supply of nitrous oxide gives one true perspective. So does thinking of the curious roots and the way you talk back to the sky. True perspective comes also from digging a hole and listening to you talk back to that sky about that perpendicular weariness. I'm digging a hole so deep that even in daylight, I can see the stars. Stars indifferent to perpendicular weariness, indifferent to verticals and horizontals. Sometimes in daylight now, I can see the stars. That's how they tell me it should be, Sylvia. Bowing out is always awkward, but I never held it against you. I'm sorry I didn't bring some more crime-oriented poems than what I'm about to read next. Others in the audience may have dabbled in poems concerning crime or gambling. Cat burglar. The thief must have come in the bathroom window and was busy disassembling my stereo when I surprised him. He jumped and reached into his pocket, but I had my Ladysmith & Wesson out before he could make a move. Careful, I said. He wiped the sweat off his forehead with a red bandana. "Put that thing away, lady," he said. I told him he could keep the goddamn stereo if he would help me move my heavy dresser flush against the door. He looked baffled. "Don't you know what flush means?" I said. "Up close," I said. "Come on and push, will you?" "I have this crazy boyfriend," I said, "who doesn't climb fire escapes like you, but has a bad habit of kicking indoors like mine on rainy nights like these. And if he catches me with another man, he'll kick the shit out of you, and then he'll go to work on me." "Okay, that should do it. But the turntable is broke, and the balance control is gone. Go on and go. Don't worry about me. I'll be fine. Loaded down with junk." He climbed back out the bathroom window in his clumsy way and waved at me like we were friends. The room seemed empty with him gone. There was no music, and I felt so lonely, so lonely. I'd be glad when someone started kicking in the door. Poor company. The man at the bar asked me why I looked depressed. "My wife just died," I told him. I don't know why he asked. I don't know why I told him my wife died. Maybe I was glad. Maybe I didn't have a wife. Never. Or not anymore. Maybe I didn't tell him my wife died. Maybe I wasn't depressed. Maybe he was gay. Maybe I was gay. Maybe there was no man at the bar and I invented him for company. Maybe I didn't like his company, so he disappeared. Nobody has seen him since. That was my good deed for the day. I promise you, that man so full of concern, that man won't bother anyone again. We'll cut a few of these. Between trains. We're the only ones who get off in New Haven. Sure, I have a smoke. You light up. It's raining and we say so. Look at that rain, we say. The rain blowing in. As the train pulls away to change engines. Getting us wet, rain, doing its job. I tell you what they're doing with the train. How it's changing. How to get back on. You know that, but I tell you anyway. So you broke up with your girl in Springfield. So you're headed back to Philly. So you had words with her. Did you ever meet a happy woman, you ask? Should I tell you it's a black-white situation? We've got something in common, whatever that is. Two guys smoking in the rain. The twilight fog, confidants between trains. The rain, like us, like I said, rain doing its job. And I'm going to conclude with Smoking Villanelle. You sit and smoke another cigarette. You pray each time you feel the end is near. How many miracles can you expect? I miss the cross you wore around your neck. I know sometimes you think that God can hear. You sit and smoke another cigarette. You've suffered from attention and neglect. It's hard to see you shaking, full of fear. How many miracles can you expect? You know the things you love you must protect. Take a deeper breath. Wipe away the tear. Sit down and have another cigarette. I know you count on things you never can forget. The smoky rooms, the music in your ear. How many miracles you can expect. We're here today, gone somewhere else the next. The church bells always ring at noon, ring clear. Sit down, love. Have another cigarette. How many miracles can you expect? Thanks so much.